Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Well, we're talking about the parable of the sower, and I've got 10 minutes because Heidi preached so long. How about you give me 20 minutes and we'll get something done? All right. Praise God. Who will give me 5 minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45. We got a whole nother hour. I got it. I'm just kidding. All right, Matthew chapter 13. We're talking about the parable of the sower. Now, when I talk about ground and heart, you have to look at the context of where heart or spirit or those things are used in order to determine whether it's talking about the born-again spirit or the soul of man. You got to realize this, you're a three-part being. You are a spirit, you possess a soul, and you live in a body. You are not just a body. You got to realize that your body is a tent. It's the house you live in. If you look at some of the words that describe the spirit inside the body, where Paul talks about Peter talks about setting aside his tent, talking about his house that he lives in. He's talking about his body. If you look at some of the Greek on those passages of scripture, it is the same principle as a sword going inside of a holster or a sheath. So your body is like a sheath for your spirit. The only reason you're allowed to function here is because you have a body. That's why Satan's looking to possess people. He needs a body. He needs a body to function in. And he wants flesh, he wants skin. And you can see some of those truths, you know, if you want to get into some of those studies, you got to be careful with those studies because people get real herky-jerky with those scriptures and they get mystical and they get too fearful with it. If you're studying about demons and things like that and you're getting full of fear, you need to stop because you ain't doing it right. Okay, you need to readjust and gather where you're coming from, because Jesus was never afraid of demons. But we know that when he cast the demons out of the madmen of Gadara, when he put them in the pigs, remember that? I knew pigs were demon-possessed. But when he put them in the pigs, what did the demons desire? They said, don't throw us out of this region. They're regional. They like places. They establish things in places. That's why when a church or ministry that's doing something that God wants them to do comes into an area, they get opposition. Why? They don't want to give up the land. It's just like possessing the promised land. And you have to stand in faith and believe God. And that's why you get resisted in areas that in your own life, it's the same thing. The enemy's trying to work. He's trying to stop you from moving forward. You know, that's where faith coming in, you have a no surrender mentality. I will not quit until I see what God promised me, which was deliverance and an honor. Come on, and no shame. Man, you should look that up sometimes. How many times the Lord says, I'm not going to leave you in shame. Whew, that's good. I love that. But anyway, so talking about the parable of the sower, you don't just think in terms of like heart, just as your heart, but think in terms of heart as kind of the center of you. So your soul and your spirit, your mind, will, and emotions and your spirit. The seed of the word of God is planted in your spirit, in your heart. That's where it grows. And that ground there is affected by what you allow to sit in your mind or in your soul. How many have ever known somebody? It wasn't you, we know that. But known somebody that was in a lot of unforgiveness. That unforgiveness affects the faith of your heart and the seed of the word, and it hinders the production of the word. Okay, so you have to deal with those things, and that's what Jesus was doing here. I really believe this, that this is something that every believer deals with in the parable of the sower, and that you really are seeing a progression of spiritual maturity in it. Now, the place that I got that from was Andrew Womack. That's where I got it from. He was teaching along these lines, and I went, and he mentioned that, and I thought, my goodness, yes. 30, 60, and 100-fold. What is 100-fold harvest? 100-fold harvest comes out of ground that doesn't have any weeds, rocks, hardness. Come on. In other words, you may be receiving, and I guarantee you, I could sit down with any number of you, and you could start telling me things that have come to pass in your life because you've stood on the word and believed God. But yet there are areas of your life where you're not seeing full manifestation of a harvest of the seed. Why? There could still be some rocks there. There could be some weeds there. But you're getting 30-fold. Well, let's go 60. Let's go 100. Amen? So I know, I'll put it to you like this, because I'm thinking God works with us. You know, God is looking to bless people, not hurt them. Brother Hagin used to say this to us. He'd say, God will bless you as far as he can in your obedience. And that's where you can, I've looked over my own life, and when I'm reading this, I'm going, okay, so Lord, in this area of my life, I'm receiving about this much out of this harvest. And then in this area, I'm probably at a 30-fold versus a 60-fold. In this area, you know, and it could vary. I don't think there's a hard and fast rule, but what needs to take place? I need to make adjustments in my soil in order to allow the divine seed to produce at the level that God has promised it would. How many know this? And we said this last week. There is nothing wrong with the seed. The seed is perfect. The seed is absolutely perfect. It's absolutely perfect. So we need to be aware of that. God is never the problem. Matthew chapter 13 verse 1 says, on the same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into the boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Skip down to verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. This is Jesus explaining it. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Verse 23, but he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, and some 30. So we looked at two different grounds already. We walked through the wayside ground, and I'm not going to go through that again because we just don't have time, but you can go back and listen online if you'd like. That was the second message in this series. And we also looked at the stony ground. And this morning, I want to hit the ground where the cares of life come in. In other words, the ground with thorns or the thorny ground. That's what I want to hit this morning. So if you want to turn, and I'm going to hit it again like I did last week from all the different gospels, turn over to, you're already in Matthew 13. So go up to verse 7. Go up to verse 7. Thank you, Lord. How many think you could get something quick? Yeah. But we're not in a hurry, right? Nobody has school tomorrow anyway. So just relax. Hallelujah. Matthew 13, verse 7. Now we're talking about the third ground here, and it has thorns. There is revelation here that I don't think we've seen yet in some cases. Maybe you have, but I saw some things here I had not seen before. And I want you to look at this, because I believe there are a lot of Christians that they really do believe the truth, and they really are convinced of it, but their distractedness in taking care of the soil has caused a shortage in harvest. It's not even really the enemy in that sense. You know, Paul said this. He had a minister that was traveling with him who left him because he loved this present world. You can love something or have desire for something that isn't of God, and it can choke out the production of the seed of the word in your life. Now let's look at this. We'll prove it here. I believe you'll see it. But Matthew 13, 7, he says, some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. Choked means to wheeze. Isn't that interesting? To wheeze. To strangle or to throttle. How many ever seen somebody choked out in a match before? A fight or something like that. Somebody been choked. What happens? The oxygen necessary to remain in the fight is stopping. Therefore, lack of oxygen means time to shut down. And that's what happens with thorny ground. Weeds will come in and choke out the word. Okay? They'll choke it out. They'll choke out the production. And that's what happens here. Now, verse 22 explains verse 7. Jesus said, now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word. So this is a person that has heard the word. I'm a word person, okay? I know the word. I hear the word. And the cares of this world, watch this, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes what? Unfruitful. Okay? Do you see that? The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Now, isn't it great that deceitfulness of riches is sitting there? But yet I can give you another scripture that says that Jesus became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. So is Jesus deceiving people with riches? Come on. The answer is no. It's an easy answer. No, he's not. Do those promises or do those words contradict each other in the sense of is God like lost his mind and then he got it back and then he can't figure out what he's doing? No. It's none of that. What is it? We see this here, and I believe if you look at it, sometimes in the New King James, it's a little blind to us. What is the deceitfulness of riches? The deceitfulness of riches is the idea that money somehow becomes your God. And the cares of life or the cares of this world are worries, cares, and pressures. And when those live in your soil, they make the seed unfruitful. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. Well, he's going to give you things? Yeah, the promise is you will have things. Again, the things can't have you. But if they do, what happens is you get choked out. The production of the seed gets choked out in your life. So you have to take an inventory of your own heart. Of your mind. What are you allowing to grow alongside the divine seed? Because if you don't deal with it, it could hinder you from your 100 down to a 30-fold. Come on. Cares of this world means the anxieties and the distractions of the age. Deceitfulness of riches means that which gives a false impression. Riches have to do with money or possessions. In other words, a person who pursues money or possessions in place of the Word of God has a false impression about what they need. In addition, money and possessions will present themselves as solutions to your dissatisfaction. Money and possessions will present themselves as the solution to your dissatisfaction. When Paul made the statement, I've learned to be content in riches and in nothing. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In other words, whether I'm in the palace or in the cell, I'm settled and the production of the divine seed in my life is not hindered because I don't allow these other things to grow. Does that make sense? Praise God, huh? Thank you, Lord. Mark chapter 4, verse 7. This is the same one, so you don't have to turn there. If you want to write it down, you can. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Mark down to verse 18, it says this, "Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches." Now watch this, Mark adds another one. "The desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." You've got to be led about which desires you follow. Now watch this. I want you to think about this with me, okay? The desires for other things. Well, the scripture says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive, you better be led by the Holy Spirit in your desires. Because this scripture says that desires for other things can end up choking out the one who made the promise that said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray. Come on. In other words, relationship with God is way above formality and religious or ritualism. We have to know and hear from Him, receive what He has for us, and then allow the Holy Spirit to be the helper or the one who what? Tends the garden with us. Well, I read that passage and I read that promise and it says this about that promise and I believe that, but I just don't know why it's coming to pass. Maybe this is a reason. Maybe this is a reason. I don't know why I'm not seeing more fruitfulness in this area. Do you have a desire for something else that is choking out the potential of that seed because you're not focusing there, you're focusing on the other desire? I know. We're constantly making adjustments, aren't we? As believers, we're constantly making adjustments. So, desires for other things, the idea is any desire that takes the place of importance over God in our lives. You are setting your desire to things that are not God's will for you. Now listen to me. It may not be a sin, like we think sin. It could not be. Some people just love fishing. I'm just going to go fishing. I'm going fishing, I'm going fishing, I'm going fishing, I'm going fishing. I'm under attack by the devil. But I spent the last 7 weekends gone fishing. And I didn't hear the word and I didn't fellowship like I was supposed to and I didn't. And I just kind of forgot about that. God help me. It's amazing. If I was God, I'd be frying people left and right probably. You know what I mean? It's like, I would look down and go, the Lord leads people to do what they're supposed to do, but they allow other desires to lead them. And it may not be a sin. It may not be anything majorly what you might think. You know what I mean? It's not like, I don't think he's talking about here desires like adultery or fornication or, trying to, coming up with a group of people getting together and robbing banks. I don't think that's what he's talking about. I think it's just distractions. The Lord tells you to get up early in the morning and do devotion, but yet your favorite TV show comes on at 10 o'clock. And you have a hard time getting up in the morning. It's a desire that needs to be whack, cut off. Buy a DVR. Luke chapter 8, verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked it, or sprang up with it and choked it. Luke chapter 8, verse 14. This is the explanation that Jesus gives. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, watch this, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. Isn't that interesting? Pleasures of life. He adds one. Desires for other things. Well, I want to do what I want to do. Did you check in with the Lord? Because He may be leading you by the Spirit of God to spend more time intending to the soil because He knows what's coming up and He knows what level of harvest you need. Well, we're under grace. Grace does not mean lazy. And if people think, people say this, we're under grace, so we can, and this is a movement in the church, and I love the grace message. That's the thing. It's phenomenal. But people have turned it into a license or into lasciviousness. To borrow a phrase from Andrew Womack, how dumb can you get and still breathe? In other words, if you think grace is the ability that you can just go and sin as much as you want, try it and see if there's not a harvest. You know, people say, well, I can do this. And they're looking for ways to get into the desires of the flesh and justify it before the Lord, but yet still keep all his promises. Whoo, you got another thing coming, bub. There's no way. Well, I'm under grace. I can just, I'm just going to shoot as much heroin as I want because I'm under grace. Grace comes to you when you don't deserve it and then empowers you to get out of what you were in. Now, thank God for it and thank God for mercy. But I guarantee you, if you're married and you're under grace and you just think you're going to commit adultery as much as you want, see how that works out. Well, I'm not going to discipline my kids. I'm not going to do that because we're under grace. They don't, you can forgive them and whoop them. It's balance. Praise the Lord. You know, corporal punishment's not a bad thing. I didn't say you have to beat them illegally. You can discipline them. Find the trigger in their life. What is it where they go, oh, I don't like that consequence? Because you are loving your child when you do that. Amen? Okay. I don't know how I got off on that, but it's good anyway. Free parenting class. The pleasures of life, the pleasures or sensual delight of this current life, the present state of existence. No fruit to maturity. This means that the fruit never ripened or produced the word of God. So what do we learn out of this? And we'll end right here. I won't even get to the good ground. I guess we'll have to hit it next week. That's all right. This will be enough anyway. So what do we learn from this passage concerning this ground, the thorny ground? Thorns in this passage represent the worrying cares of this life. They represent the deceitfulness of riches. They represent desires or pleasures of this life. So those are the four things that are represented there, and they overlap a little bit. So you can kind of categorize the way you want in your notes there. We see from this passage that if we allow these thorns to be a part of the soil of our heart, that they will choke out the produce of the Word of God in our lives. They'll choke it out, okay? Now, I was, the other day, Mike and Suzanne are not here, but I was having coffee with Mike Seppala, and he was reading this passage, and he made a statement to me. He said that the Lord brought out to him that in the thorny ground, in that ground, he noticed that that the thorns, those weeds, did not destroy the seed of the word. They just destroy its produce. Isn't that interesting? There's no mention here of the enemy coming in and snatching the seed out. It's already in the ground. It's already established. So what is this? What is this? Is diligence, self-discipline issues. This is your mental focus remaining in one place diligently in your fellowship with the Lord. And as you do that, you're attentive to the ground. You're aware that does not look like a peace harvest. In fact, that looks like a thorn. And if you're working your ground and you're in good fellowship with your Father and the Holy Spirit and you're operating with Him, you're aware, worry thought just tried to seed. I grab it in the name of Jesus. That's not who I am. You're tending the garden. You're aware of what's coming. Sickness thought just tried to come. Destruction thought just tried. A lack of peace. I won't be able to sleep tonight, thought just tried to come. Insomnia. How many have seen the commercials for different medications? I remember the one a few years ago for the foot fungus one, you get the medication, and it was this little ghoul-looking thing And so I think it's really true like that. And they're running around. They want you to own that thing so that you have to take their medication so you can buy their yacht. They're not thinking that way. I'm just, you know, poking the bear, so to speak. But have you watched some of those commercials? The way they describe things, it's pretty good. I mean, it's not good in that sense, but it's a good description. But when you're aware of certain thoughts, when you're aware of your ground, you can rise up in the middle of that and water the seed of peace in your life. No, I'm pulling that one, but I'm watering this one. I'm watering joy, I'm pulling depression. I'm watering the healing scriptures, I'm pulling the sickness thorns. I'm watering I can't do this, I'm going to give up, doubt and unbelief. I'm pulling those out, and I'm feeding and I'm watering the faith scriptures. To where you're producing what? You eradicate and eliminate the thorns in your life in desires for other things and all those distractions and things, and you are just tending to the promises of God. And you can get so good at it, according to this passage, that you can have 100-fold harvest off of every promise. Now I know why Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind, I press. Why? Because the potential of every person sitting in here that's born again is given to us in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You're not just supposed to, Jesus wasn't just our open door to heaven. He is, but is also the open door of heaven to earth, not just us going to heaven. So the resurrection that is within you, the potential that is there, is 100-fold. Amen? According to the promises. They're having a party downstairs. Somebody needs to lay hands on that light because it died. You. All right. Yeah, I know you will. This should answer many questions for us as to why believers do not see more harvest of the promises in their lives. Anxieties and distractions choke out the word. Chasing after self-worth and security through money and possessions chokes out the word. Always trying to get the satisfaction of our heart's desires from other things rather than God, such as family. Do you know family can have too high of a place in your life? Come on, there should be more amens than that. People don't like to hear that. You want to know why? Because it's me and my family till we die. You know what I mean? Your family can't get you into heaven. And if you really love your family, you'll love God first. You'll love him first. Entertainment. Sports. Shopping. That is not a problem for me. Not even a little. I do not wake up in the morning and the devil's like, you should go shopping today. That's a failed temptation. I don't even bother. Possessions. Entertainment. I don't remember who I was talking to, but we were talking about sports and different things. The world as a whole, they have something for you every day of your life, all day long. And they have something for your families every day of your life, all day long. And they have something for your kids, and they have something for, you know, there is something for everything. There is, and the most important thing in your life is your relationship with the Lord. And your fellowship with him. And his things. Always first. If you seek first the kingdom. Do you know what the problem is? It takes faith to do that, and it doesn't feel like it's working when you do it. But those who have done it and been steady have reaped the harvest. And they know it's a blessing. There's nothing like it. And I'm not telling you you're not going to have challenges, because you will. You cannot give the things of God and the word of God a backseat in your life and expect to enjoy his promises with a 30, 60, and 100-fold return. The harsh reality of this passage is that most people choose worry, money, and personal desires and entertainment over the cultivation and watering of the Word of God in their lives. If we give our time, energy, and money to thorns, we will choke out the Word of God in our lives. If we give our time, energy, and money to God and His Word, we will enjoy a close relationship with Him, and all the natural things will be taken care of in grand style. Amen? It's true. If we do what God wants us to do and seek Him first, He will bring in such balance in the other areas, you'll be satisfied and not wore out. As parents, we have to be led by the Holy Spirit in everything we do with our kids. As employers, we have to be led by the Holy Spirit in what we do with the employees. As pastors, as leaders, we have to be led by the Holy Spirit in what we do. Why? Because we're looking to tend and nurture the ground and bring about harvest in people's lives. You're looking to do it in your life. Every day, all day. And as you are aware of that, and as you are moving that direction, and continue to allow the Lord to make adjustments in your life, you'll see greater and greater harvest in your life. I don't see in this passage where Jesus is saying, I'm going to give to you 30, 60, or 100-fold based on just my desire. I don't see the thought here being given by the Lord that it's just up to Him. I'll decide what kind of harvest you get. You just go along. I don't see that. I see in this passage and in this parable, as we've read over it, I see the Lord saying, look, like we did from the beginning, how you listen and understand determines what you receive. And then how you maintain and tend to what you've received determines the level of harvest that comes. Now, the levels of harvest could be different depending on the calling of God upon your life. Now, if, like for instance, we've talked about this before. Different ministries have different measures of calling in their talents that they've been called over. They just do. If we, this morning, met in Faith Chapel Sanctuary, that'd feel weird. First of all, because it's not our sanctuary, and they'd wonder what we were doing there. But if the sanctuary seats 1,400 people, and there's 75 people there, people might go, wonder what's going on here. This must just be a small gathering of people for something. In other words, at this point in the ministry, I don't need that building. Now, down the road, I may need that building. I don't want their building, so just, okay, don't write him a letter. My pastor prophesied today that we're going to take your building. No, don't do that. I think God can get His own building, okay? He doesn't need to. Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, there are measures there. My hundredfold in my life may look different than yours. Does that make sense? Rhema has ministries all over the world. 233 now Bible colleges that they're ministry. I don't need 233 Bible colleges, but I can support what they're doing. Their hundredfold for 233 Bible colleges is different than our hundredfold for this at this point. Now, it will grow, it will multiply, and it will need to be more because it has every year. And guess what has happened? Every year, it has grown and multiplied. But it's measures of calls, measures of things. And we'll get into that when we get into the parable of the talent. But in your own personal life, every person in here can have 100% peace, 100% joy, 100% love. Come on. 100% self-control. Really shout amen on that one. 100-fold of the blessing of God in your life, physically and financially. All that has to happen is you don't need to worship it and you need to tend to the garden. Amen? Would you stand, please? All right, praise God. I know I went over. That's all right. You all gave me 5 minutes. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you for today. You're so good to us, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for these truths. Lord, as we apply these truths to our lives by the leading of the Spirit and to the satisfaction and the clear conscience within us, Lord, we know that you're going to continue to increase us and we are going to see the greater and greater harvests in our lives. The area, the need, whatever it is, Lord, your promises that speak to those areas, we will seed those, water those, and then be attentive to keep out stones, to keep out seeds of thorns, desires for other things, the deceitfulness of riches, the pleasures of life, and cares and worries. We'll keep those things out. And thank you, Father, that as we do, and as you, Holy Spirit, bring this word back to us, we will watch over our ground, water, and pull weeds, and we will receive a harvest 30, 60, and 100-fold. So we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for your provision in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.